All right. So for those of you listening on the podcast feed, I'm getting the actual stream up and running and getting this shared so that we can get some people in the chat room. And we are live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Suds News, Suds in the Squared Circle. I am Vinny. This is Christy. And we have a lot to talk about today. First off, before we get into anything general hospital related, I do want to remind everybody that we are officially an affiliate for WWE's Yop. So go to sudsandsquarecircle.com/wrestling merch. You can order all your great wrestling merchandise, especially now they just released it, the official Hall of Fame shirt for none other than the wise man, Paul Heyman, the first announced inductee into the 2024 class for the WWE Hall of Fame, going in the Friday before WrestleMania. Coming up in a month, and go over there and get that shirt and use our affiliate link. That'll give us a commission. Again, sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestling merch. That has our affiliate link and right installed right in there. So congratulations to Paul Heyman. Also, outside of that, hey, Chad made it. Welcome to this chat, Chad.
Hey, Chad.
Also, just wanted to give a big shout out to none other than the icon Sting, who wrestled his final match last night at AEW Revolution. As the tag team championship match, he and Darby Allin defeated the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson. I don't watch AEW, so I did not watch it. But that does put the AEW in a quandary. What are Sting and Darby gonna, what are they gonna do with the tag titles now that Sting is retiring? And his wrestler's last match, but that's for them to figure out. They backed themselves into a corner. Let's see if Tony Khan could get the right story out. Also, couple things, couple of sad news. Three big deaths in the wrestling world over the past week alone since we've recorded. First off, Ole Anderson, and then he was a former promoter, booker. He was a founding member of the Four Horsemen with Ric Flair and Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, and just a very sad day for, we express our condolences to his family, friends, and fans as well. Also, the Mike Jones, the former Virgil, claimed rose to fame in WWE back in the late 80s, early 90s, as the manservant slash valet for Ted DiBiase, or the head of security, I should say, for Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. Got a brief run as a single star himself in the early 90s, captured the Million Dollar title, and then left WWE and was hired by WCW and became the head of security for the NWO. As the named Vincent. Also wrestled as Curly Bill in that style, is in that promotion as well, part of the West Texas Rednecks. Most recently appeared on AEW Dynamite as part of the Inner Circle with Chris Jericho. So another big loss. And then just over the weekend, Paul Butcher Vachon passed away. The uncle of Luna Vachon, who had predeceased him years ago, but he died at the age of, I believe, 90. But a lot of deaths,
Wow.
fortunately, in the wrestling world.
It's going around.
Yes,
Something's in the water. A lot of people are passing away right now. I mean,
I
you went
agree.
through a passing in the family. I went through a passing in the family. And then all these other random, like, celebrities and public figures are just passing. And I'm just like, wow,
But yeah,
something's in the water.
it is sad. So we
Yes.
do
Wow.
express our condolences to
Yeah.
the families, friends, and fans of all three of those gentlemen who have passed away. But we are here to talk about soap operas. I did something tonight that I don't normally do. I actually watched today's episode of General Hospital already today. Obviously, we had known that Jason Morgan was coming back, so I wanted to watch it. I actually chose to watch General Hospital on Hulu instead of watching Monday Night Raw Live, which is okay because I had to fast forward through the commercials up until the time I came on here. So either way, fantastic episode. I am very psyched to see the storyline that they're going with for Jason's return. But we'll get into that next week. All I gotta say is I'm really liking the new writing team as of right now. We are actually here to talk about the week last week, Monday, February 26th, all the way until Friday, March 1st. So I can't believe it's already March. It seems like 2024 is flying by. I also want to thank everybody for jumping in. Hit that subscribe button, and then get notified. Like the show as well. And then if you're listening on the podcast, if you give us a 5-star Apple review, or Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. I do have a big announcement for tonight. Something that I just kind of put together today. So we are in March. Everybody knows what March is. What March is known for, and that is March Madness. So what I'm doing is the first ever Soap Suds March Madness tournament. Now, will there be physical games being played? No. And no, I'm not going to intersperse wrestlers and soap stars with this thing, this tournament. No. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go ahead and I wanna see with all five of the current soap operas, at least that I know of. If there are others in other countries I don't watch, unfortunately, I'm not including them. But what we're going to do is starting next week is March 11th. I'm going to do the seating live. We're going to have 64 characters of soap operas. This is going to include General Hospital, Days of Our Lives, Young and the Restless, Bold and Beautiful, and The Bay. Now, the way it's going to be set up is it's going to be broken down into four quadrants, four brackets, four quadrants, like the regular NCAA tournament. And it's going to be broken down based on show for the most part. In one bracket, it's going to be the Port Charles bracket. And we'll have the 16 General Hospital characters. In the other bracket, we'll have the Salem bracket and the 16 Days of Our Lives characters. We'll have the Genoa City bracket for the Young and the Restless characters. And then for the final bracket, we're going to have the Bay City Los Angeles bracket, where it's going to be combined the Bay and Bold and the Beautiful. Reason being that the Bay and the Bold and Beautiful are both half hour shows, whereas the other three are hour long shows. So you're able to get more characters that way. What these are going to be are these matches are I'm going to have next Monday live here is going to be the bracketology, the seating. Basically it's going to be drawing names out of the hat and putting the bracket together. Now, in the initial run, starting on Monday, March 18th, actually no, I might oh yeah, starting on Monday, March 18th, we're going to have the first and second rounds, or the first rounds, and then 3 days later or 4 days later, we'll have the second rounds. What we're going to do is on our official Twix page, which is at Suds SQ Circle Pod, okay, we're going to have a number of different and concurrent polls. And those polls are going to determine who moves on to the next round in the tournament. And we'll go based on that. And then the following week, which will be the 25th of March, we'll go with the actual, the next rounds and so on and so forth. The week of April 1st is when the championship, I foresee the championship match going on. And, the final four in the championship. Now, I will give you guys a month notice and a programming note. that on April 8th, Monday, April 8th, we will not have an episode of Suds News, Suds in the Squared Circle. I will be at the Raw after WrestleMania. So we won't be having a show that day. So 2 weeks after that, which would be the 15th of April, is when we'll announce the championship. So this will be a month-long tournament, and we'll go from there. So keep an eye on our Twitch account at SudsSQCirclePod. This is going to also encompass both Suds News and Dockside at the Bay, because the Bay is included. So we'll be going over all the results going forward as we get the winners. Now, what you guys came, first of all, Christy, but before we get into anything else, I've been doing the most of the talking myself. Christy, how have you been? How was your week?
It's a been a busy week, but I went on vacation, which was so good for me. I got to leave work early on Friday and have like a little weekend vacation in Gulf Shores, Alabama with my good friend Matt, who is my OG Roswell friend, who is the first friend I ever made in the Roswell fandom, and that's the show from 1999 to 2002 that I always seem to reference from time to time on this podcast. So yeah, it was a great time. We thoroughly enjoyed ourselves, and we both needed the R&R. And I said after my aunt's passing that I needed a sedative and I needed a vacation. I got my vacation, so I'm really happy about that. Now, the sedative, I had some kind of during the process of going home to take care of my aunt, but the sedative was not really working the way it needed to. It will now, because I'm past like the initial, you know, process of trying to go through that. But as you know, with family members passing and dealing with their estate, there are many processes, and you can't rush a process. It's a process.
You can't.
So, you know, yeah. So things are busy. You know, work's keeping me busy. I'm going out of town for work too at the end of the week. So, you know, things are moving, things are busy. And because things are busy, I'm still kind of behind on General Hospital. I caught up on the previous week that I had kind of missed. I had listened to it while I was working, and that works for me, kind of listening to General Hospital like a podcast and just getting the gist of what's going on. And then I caught a little bit of Monday's episode, but I'm still kind of behind. I've read some bits and pieces of like kind of what happened during last week. But yeah, you're going to get Christy just kind of mainly reacting to recaps again. So I hope that's okay with y'all. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine, because you know what, it happens. You know, life gets in the way at times, and I'm like a week myself. I'm a week behind on Young and the Restless, which I'm actually finding very tiresome to watch. In my opinion, right now, Young and the Restless, and I said it last week, Young and the Restless is probably the hardest one for me to watch right now. It's so slow moving. But I am caught up other than today's episode on everything else.
So the pacing on Young and the Restless is not great, huh?
No, it's really not.
It's
all right. So, yeah. But you all guys right. are here to hear. You guys are here to hear and watch and listen and learn about everything happening in Port Charles, New York, for General Hospital. We're not going to go into today's episode. I we'll save that for next week.
Right.
I've
only seen half of it anyway, so it's fine with me. I was only able to catch half of it today.
So. You know, we'll touch base. We'll talk about Jason's return next week. Now we're going to the prequel, so to speak, and what's leading up to Jason Morgan coming back to Port Charles. But
yeah,
let's kind of start. First off, as we left last week, I posed a question to you regarding Maxine Spinelli. And what is Maxie going to do when she learns that Spinelli kind of, you know, Spinelli and her mother kind of put their heads together
out of a financial
situation And when she learned about it, well, we didn't have to wait long for that revelation.
No.
That happened on,
Right.
like, that was very, very quick. That was almost like the old writers wrote the original story. The new writers came in and said, no, we're gonna fix that quickly.
All right.
But
So,
Mal,
yeah, she had a conversation with her mom. I saw some of that.
yes, she had a conversation with both
Alicia.
Maxie, pronouns pal. Maxie had a conversation with both Spinelli, and then later on in the week with Felicia. Maxie,
Yeah.
and Spinelli kind of both said that they're falling back in love with each other. They want to be more than friends. And
Great.
what?
Let's get on the board with that. I'm on the Spixie train. Let's go.
Well, Spinelli came clean to her as well and said, listen, my pipes were never broken. And a little birdie told me that you needed some financial help. So I came in and I wanted to help you out. And like I said, Maxie has a lot of pride. So her pride
She
got, when she
does.
got mad, she's like,
Yeah, she
you lied to me.
does.
Normally I could
Yeah.
depend on you, but I can't trust you anymore. And she basically kicked him out.
Yeah,
Prior
yeah.
to that, Sonny came by and wanted, last week Sonny came by and asked Spinelli for some help with his current, scheme that he's trying to do to catch whoever's hunting the mob bosses. So, but outside of that, Spinelli came clean, told the truth, and Maxie kicked him to the curb. She said, listen, I can't trust you. Leave, and then you could come back later at some point and get your stuff. And it's really sad. I
Yeah.
understand Maxie's point of view because she is a very proud person, and she took an offense to the fact that her mother and Spinelli kind of put their heads together without telling her and said, he's gonna come in and help you financially.
I kind of wish maybe they were a little bit more upfront with that, but at the same time, I feel like if they hadn't, they knew what her reaction would have been. And
Yeah.
that's why they did what they did.
Of course. Because 95% of the
So,
times, we know your reaction is going to suck, but we're still going to help you out anyways.
yeah, I mean, it was kind of like they did it with the best of intentions, with good intentions.
Yes.
But of course, Maxie's not going to see it that way. Maybe over time, in time, she will. But yeah, she does have a lot of pride, and she didn't really want to. She wanted, I think, solve the problem on her own.
Yep.
And I understand, 'cause I'm also familiar with debt and not wanting to accept help, but I also don't have enough pride where I'm like, look, I know I need help from my dad sometimes. It sucks that as I'm almost 40-year-old woman, I need help. But I mean, it's expensive to live in America, so
Yep.
you need help. I
Yeah.
mean, and
No.
I would hope Maxie would come to that conclusion, like, look, this debt is too great for me to bear on my own.
Yep.
But everyone's gotta, you can't really lead a horse to water, so to speak. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And it's one of those things, believe me, during this time of unemployment for me, I've had to ask for help myself. So it's something that happens, especially with the way cost of living has goes up and the wages don't go up.
Exactly,
So that's the unfortunate truth.
yes.
So when it comes down to Maxie, she tells Spinelli, but then later in the week, she does talk to Felicia, and she kind of under Maxie kind of understands what Felicia did, and it's like, if Mac and I wanted to give you the money, we would have, and she's like, but I wouldn't take it from you, and she's like, exactly, and that's why it made Spinelli feel like he was helping you, and it was for a reason. It wasn't just free money, right? But either way, I like Spinelli and Maxie together. I think that eventually that's the end game for their characters.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So I like the fact that Spinelli kind of, because obviously Georgie is his daughter, but when it comes to James and Bailey Lou, he bonds with all of them. I mean, he taught Bailey Lou how to play Dungeons and Dragons, so or at least rolling the dice. So I like the Spinelli character, and I hope that now that Steve Burton is back, we see Spinelli a little bit more often on canvas.
Oh,
He's
yeah.
gonna be in a relationship again with Maxine. So we go ahead and let's kind of move on. One of the, I don't know, th this story, in my opinion, I'm gonna put it out there, and I said last week, I am a huge fan of hashtag Team Crave, with Christina and Blaze. And this
Oh, yeah.
story, this week, in my opinion, got pushed into full gear. And the reason why I say that is because on Monday's episode, Blaze's mother actually comes to visit and
Right.
walks in on Blaze and, walks in on Christina in
Yeah, that's what
Blaze's
I heard.
bed. And Christina tried to cover it up.
Interesting. Like,
Go ahead.
yeah. Oh, so where were they? Where did they like sleep together? They slept at Christina's place or they were in Blaze's room?
At Blaze's MetroCourt room.
Metro court room.
Yeah.
Oh, so her mother got a
A
hotel key
key.
to get in there?
Yes. Because I guess the mother booked the room under her name and just said that Blaze could check in. And so theoretically speaking, as long as the room is under your name, you can get a key.
Oh, Jesus.
At least that's how they
That's
explained it.
awkward. That's going to be an awkward. That was probably awkward.
So,
Okay.
Christina got up and tried to cover for Blaze, saying that they had a girls' night and it got too late, so she ended up staying over. But
And
then,
girls' night.
Blaze did actually straighten the record out and come clean to her mother and said Christina is her girlfriend. And that scene was very well. And it, you know what? And I think a lot of people could relate to the relationship that Blaze had with her mother. And the reason why is because when in certain cultures, obviously we know that there are people who are ultra conservative, ultra religious, that just don't have anything to do with the LGBTQIA alphabet soup community. And when I say alphabet soup, please don't take offense to that. It's just so many letters together at one point. You kind of look at it like alphabet soup. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I do, I support anybody who wants to live their life the way they do, as long as it doesn't harm anybody else. So if you are part of it, my son is gay, so he's part of the LGBTQ movement.
Yeah, I just vacationed with my gay best friend. Love him. Love
So,
him. He
it's
brings a lot more on vacation than I do, by the way. Way higher maintenance than me, which is hilarious. I mean, I'm very low maintenance as a female, I guess. I don't know.
So
Anyways, I
it
digress.
no, I mean it just so happens that there are a lot of for and the way Blaze said it was that her family was ultra Catholic, and in the Catholic religion they don't
Yeah, that's different
traditional
when it's
Catholic
Catholic.
families,
Yeah.
they don't accept
I know about that.
gays or anything. So she didn't want it, but also in this culture, you look at your elders with respect. And I feel like the age that Blaze is at, I'm assuming it's early 30s, right? I think that's kind of the last true generation of people that actually have respect for their elders. Because I see a lot of kids nowadays that just don't.
No,
That's neither here nor there.
absolutely
That's
not.
beside the point.
That's
But
gone to the wayside.
I
Yeah.
do feel like Blaze has a lot of respect for her family, which is why she hid it. And unfortunately, that's the way a lot of people have to live. So I kind of hope that some people who are watching this that are struggling with coming out with their sexuality or whatever are looking at this as like, you know what? If she had the, you know, the bravado, the courage, the guts to come out to her ultra Catholic mother, and I get it, it's a soap opera, but you know, people relate to these characters. So
They do.
if you know, if you see someone, she had the courage to do it, I'm gonna come out and do it, and you know, it could really help people. So
Yeah, no, that's true.
I
That's
want to
very
say
true.
bravo to, you know, the character that the actor that plays Blaze, and because I don't know, A, I don't know who, or I know who it is, I just don't have the name on my on the tip of my tongue right now. But either way, the Blaze's mother being played by Eva LaRue, who's a legend, an icon in soaps, formerly of All My Children and many other
Right.
shows. She did a great job and is going to continue on. As far as I know, she's there for a couple episodes. I know we saw her Monday. I don't think we saw her any other time. We saw her Monday and Tuesday. I don't know if that's it for her run. So Nathan points out, for those who remember the storyline on All My Children,
Yeah.
with Bianca coming out or any storyline, other soaps, in the past, it's not easy coming out. And I do remember that
Yeah.
storyline on All My Children, with Bianca. And to be honest with you, the only, and I gotta kind of go off on a tangent right here. The only reason why I started watching All My Children is because, correct me if I'm wrong, the actor that played Bianca was in American Pie, and she was one of the, you know, bit parts in American Pie at the party. So actually, she's the one that got thrown up on by Stifler at a party, if I'm remembering that correctly.
Interesting.
So that's why I started watching All My Children, and I, you know, started watching it a little bit then. So yeah, it is. It's, you know, something that a lot of people struggle with. I feel like, and this is going to end up going into a whole big discussion and something that I'm not really equipped to talk about because I never had to come out to anybody because I, you know, but I just feel like nowadays it's a little easier. For people to come out, at least from what I see with society. I feel like it's more accepted now to be part of the LGBT community. But I'm not at all saying that it's a very easy sell.
Well, I think it's more widely accepted to come out as in the LGBT community overall, but specifically when it means coming out to your friends versus your parents, it's a completely different ball game. So I think coming out to your parents is way different because your parents grew up probably really old school where that wasn't so accepted in their generation to do that. And if that did happen in their generation, which I'm sure it did, that was behind closed doors. Nobody talked about it, you know, just like mental health. It was not really widely accepted to say, hey, I have this mental health condition. It was more like, don't talk about it. Let's pretend it doesn't exist because otherwise they're going to throw you in the loony bin. So it's kind of the same thing with LGBTQ. Like if you came out to your parents, like it was just not accepted. And so even nowadays, you come out to your parents, whether they're baby boomers or in a later generation, it's like a way different thing because, you know, that's just not the norm, you know, like it is now. It's normal. It's almost like quote unquote normal now to come out, right?
No,
To come out
you're
of the
exactly
closet
right.
and be accepted, right?
You know, it's like look at the Marshall storyline. It's a perfect example where you brought up mental health. It's like Marshall was, you know, Curtis's father was, you know, led to believe that he was schizophrenic. So he left his family thinking, fearing for their safety for because of his quote unquote illness. And you know, when it comes to same thing with coming out as an LGBTQ person. It's like mental health is on a path right now where it's more looked at as you need help rather than, and people live daily with mental illnesses. Maurice Bernard, for a perfect example, being bipolar, and he's opposed, he's an advocate and he's someone to, raise awareness, and that's what you need is you need someone to just say, listen, you can be labeled anything you want, but you know what? You're a person. You live with it. You do what you have to do to control it, whether it's medication, whether it's whatever it may be. So I completely agree, and we can get to a big discussion about any of these topics. But it's something that I feel like, especially with this storyline with Blaze and Christina. Now, Christina has obviously been out to her parents. She came out to Alexis and Sunny years ago with that whole Parker storyline. And but I feel like and I love how Christina's handling it. She's like, I didn't mean to put you into a position with your mother that was uncomfortable for you, whatever. So it's almost like she's understanding, and it's one of those things where you go ahead and you look at you just look at the character dynamic. Like Christina's been there, she could empathize with Blaze to the fact of it's something that I did and it was tough when I did it. So I'm not going to push you, I'm not going to pressure you, but if you need support, I'm here for you. And that's great for Christina, because normally, prior to Kate Manzi taking over the role, we've been used to Christina being like, this devil may care attitude where it's like her way or the highway. She loved and cared about people, and she did go ahead and do things that help people, but at the same time, it was like a lot of the stuff was for her and not necessarily for others. And now she's kind of being like, you know what? I care about this girl. I'm going to support her. And I'm very happy with that. Catch it up on chat a little bit. Chad does go ahead and say, yes, there have been iconic LGBTQ storylines on soaps like the Bianca one you mentioned. And also, I know As the World Turns had a gay character come out. And back then it was more groundbreaking, which is true.
Yes.
And
And then Young and the Restless, I know, has their
yes,
female and female
Mariah,
pairing
yes, Tess
that
and
hasn't
Mariah.
really, yeah, Tessa and Mariah. And I know that hasn't, I don't know if they're really focused on so much anymore, if they're even on a regular basis currently.
Tessa actually just got the management position at the cafe because Sharon's working on her own thing. Again, I'm
There you
still
go.
learning the characters, and I'm bored with it already.
Well, I'm somewhat familiar with gay pairings on other soaps, just because that has been such a groundbreaking
Yes.
thing, and it continues to be something that is explored on soap. So I'm kind of glad General Hospital is going there again, because they really haven't had a gay LGBTQIA like pairing in
In a while,
a
ever
few
since
years, quite a few years, I think.
Lucas and Brad broke up. So, it's like
Oh,
Lucas
right.
went away.
Yes, that was the last one.
Brad's not on. Felix is rarely ever on. So, yeah, they need to have some representation on there, for that community.
For sure.
So I do like it. I will say, and I've said it before, and I talked to, and I even spoke with James Lott Jr. about this. Days of Our Lives is by far the most progressive soap opera,
Oh my gosh.
because they
Oh
do have a
yeah, for
number of
sure.
gay characters, gay pairings. Chanel is bisexual. She was with Ally, and now she's
Oh
with,
yeah.
and now she's
Should
with
they had the whole Chanel
Tommy.
Ally three-way with
Yep, with
Alex, and that
Alex.
was very, very, very progressive. So
That
that
was, I
was a
think that was the
wild
first.
one.
I think that was the first episode that I actually watched of Days of Our Lives. So
What a first episode for you, buddy. That was a
Well,
wild one.
here's the thing.
Woo!
Here's the thing. I had heard about it, and it was going to be groundbreaking. And I had started planning on watching it anyways once Steve Burton had gone to, Days, because I had watched Beyond Salem and Beyond Salem 2, and then I started with Days, and that's when that happened to be the first episode that I saw, because I wanted to see how they handled it because of the fact that
Okay.
no
So you
soap
did that
opera
on
had ever
purpose.
touched that before.
Yeah. That was on purpose then for you. Okay.
No,
Great.
it was on purpose for me. And then they shocked the world. I want to say it was the next episode or a couple episodes later, where they had Alex dream that he was part of another threesome, this time with Stephanie and Chad, instead of two girls. So he dreamt it,
man,
woke up, and yeah.
That boy Alex, man. Woo! Robert Scott Wilson, man. Woo!
But either way.
Hottie, hottie. Anyway.
Yeah, anyways. I like I said, I'm a huge Blaze and Christina fan. I want to see them stay together and kind of work as a couple. And maybe Blaze could just be there for Christina through this entire storyline. But yeah. So, all right. So here's something I need to bring up to you. Kind of switching gears a little bit. One person that I really want to talk about and that I've seen the shift in her character is the iconic Tracy Quartermain. I have seen a shift in her character over the past couple of weeks. I don't know whether it's going to be the new writers or whether it's new writing or just the fact that they're going in a different direction with her and they're trying to soften her up a little bit. Like, with this past week, we saw the dress fitting where, you know, Tracy and Maxie and Lois were there with Brooklyn. She was trying on dresses, and they were, you know, Lois and Tracy were sharing about their wedding gowns and how Lila had left the dress to Tracy and because Tracy didn't want it, or Tracy didn't wear it for her wedding,
Oh,
whatever the case
yeah,
was.
Yeah, yeah. I saw this part.
She allowed
Yes.
Lois to wear it when
Yeah.
Lois married Ned. So it was a really good interplay, and I like seeing Tracy not be so ruthless. She still has her snark. She still is very, you know, quick-witted.
And blunt.
But yes. But she's also softer. And I think that has a lot to do with Gregory.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. That's why I like their interplay as a couple versus Alexis and Gregory, because I just find it way more interesting to watch.
Yes.
And they've got a lot more to play off each other, whereas Alexis and Gregory, I feel like, is a lot more predictable, a lot more tame. It's not really... There's no sparks for me really flying there. Other people might see it. I don't see it.
Well, here's
That's
the thing
just my
with Gregory
personal
and Alexis,
opinion.
like they went skydiving, right? Because that was one of the items on Gregory's bucket list. And Alexis said that she would do it with him.
Correct.
When they land, the adrenaline's high and everything, and they kiss. After that, they said, oh, you know what, it was a big mistake, and they never referenced it again. So why am I gonna invest emotion into this pairing when you're saying it's just a friendly thing? You're not giving it any spark. And Gregory has more chemistry with Tracy than Alexis.
Which is what I'm saying. They do have more chemistry. And I don't know if they're going to go there at all, because Tracy's, you know, Jane Elliott is only on a, what, recurring contract. I don't know if that
She's
has anything to do with
right
it.
Now. She's on contract.
But I think they can make it work. I mean, they're not on often enough where I think it would be a problem, right? Like, I feel like they could, you know, storyline progress that maybe once every 2 weeks, and that would be sufficient, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I, that's just my opinion, though. I'm not in the writer's room. I'm not making the decisions, but I would love for them to really go with Tracy and Gregory is a pairing, and just have Alexis and Gregory be friends, be colleagues, co-workers, whatever.
Yes. No, I agree, and that's and I feel like that's the best course of action. First off, we don't know about Gregory's diagnosis. Is he gonna, you know, be around in a year? Like, you know, why, again, why invest in a relationship if he's, you know, got this terminal illness where he's going to be gone in a year? Not saying that people who are terminal don't need love, don't cancel me over that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, he has so much time left to live because he does have ALS. He's starting to, you know, progress into disease and XYZ. So it's like, you're kind of caught.
Yeah.
You know, do you emotionally invest in this character, this, you know, this illness that he's battling? But where do you invest in? Do you invest in him with his family, with his granddaughter, with his sons? You know, the fact that they're as a family working through this, or do you want to invest in him with a significant other at an advanced stage? You know, but.
Look, I'm not going to invest in it. I'm not going to invest in it personally that hard because they've been kind of like, I don't know. Like, I can't really count on GH to like terribly invest in a pairing for a man who is possibly dying, right? So I'm not going to put that much emotional investment in it. Is it interesting to watch to a certain degree? Yes. Do I hope they go the Tracy and Gregory route instead? Yes. But is it on my list of priorities, at the top of my list of priorities for GH? No. So, I mean, that's just kind of where I'm at. It's kind of at the bottom of my list. Like, yes, I would like it to happen. Will it probably happen? Maybe, maybe not. But it's not that important to me. It's not super important to me as a viewer. It's just kind of one of those like back burner items. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. I know exactly what you mean. But so here's one thing that I think it was it James? I think it was James actually that brought it up on his podcast, I think last week, in that there was just a storyline on Bold and the Beautiful in November and between November and December where Eric Forrester, who's the patriarch of the entire show and the lead character, he did have some type of illness where he was, you know, fatal and terminal and whatever. And then his son-in-law, ironically also named Finn, short for Dr. Finnegan, not Hamilton Finn, but Finnegan. Either way. He did save him with an experimental surgery that cleaned the blood, and Eric is now back to full health. So could we be setting up a storyline in Port Charles where, you know, our Finn, Hamilton Finn, ends up saving his father
with an experimental drug?
With an experimental thing. Now, you kind of get to a point where it's a catch-22 in that situation. You've already named the disease that Gregory has, that he has Lou Gehrig's disease. We know that there's no cure in real life for ALS. Do you insult the fans' intelligence by saying, yeah, we have this experimental surgery that, you know, I'm going to try on you if you're okay with it, because I love my father and I want to keep him and I want to save him. And I don't, maybe not insult the fan intelligence. Maybe that's the wrong phrase, but make, you know, people who have, make people who do have ALS excited at the possibility of an experimental surgery. Or can people in this day and age suspend their disbelief to be like, it's a television show, it's entertainment, and even though it may not be real, you know, I'm still going to watch and be entertained by it. So you kind of get into a catch-22 when it comes to dealing with illnesses, especially when they're real. In the case of Eric on Bold and the Beautiful, they never actually said what disease he had. They just showed that he was coughing up blood, like Chad points out in the chat. They just say that he was coughing up blood and you know, he wasn't going to make it and everything. They never actually said, oh, well, he has AIDS or he has XYZ, you know. They just said he was sick and then Finn does the surgery. So they kind of protected themselves in that situation. When it comes to here, they've already said that Gregory has ALS. There's no cure. So they kind of backed themselves in the corner if they're going to go that route.
Well, General Hospital, I think, has a as a pattern of announcing and labeling certain kinds of real life, real world diseases like AIDS and HIV, and now we have ALS. And I think they've done that in the past, maybe with a couple other things, and made it like a more realistic, like, oh, they're dealing with like real topics. They're dealing with real world diseases.
Yes.
So that's kind of what GH does to, I think, raise awareness for like ALS. Like, they're obviously trying to raise awareness for ALS. Like, in the past, they've done that with AIDS and HIV. So it's just, that's what GH does. They do that. So I don't have a problem with them raising awareness. I'm all for raising awareness for ALS, and that's fine. It's just, like you said, how much of ourselves as viewers should we invest in a man who has got ALS on screen and dying? Like, where should we hope to have our focus on him? Should they mainly just be spending time having Gregory with his family and not so much the romance aspect of his life? Now, if they're going to magically cure ALS and that's what they're going for, then I could see why we would go down the road of trying to pair him up with somebody. So that's why I'm not super emotionally invested in his romantic life, because he could die in within 6 months. But I also haven't heard anything about the actor himself leaving the show. Yeah. So that tells me that actor himself hasn't been announced of leaving the show, then they're probably going to keep him on and either magically cure the ALS, or it's just going to be a very, very slow progression to his storyline.
Right, and it could be a misdiagnosis as well, even though we just had that with Marshall. So, I mean, there's an opportunity to get out of that. I don't know if that's what they're going to do, but we'll have to see what they actually do, which direction the new writers are going to go with Gregory. You know, they could say, okay, well, we're going to axe the character and he'll be gone in a month. But, you know, Gregory Harrison is a fantastic actor who, in my opinion, has brought a lot to General Hospital, especially that whole Chase Finn family. So, and Tracy.
Personally, like, and I'm just going to try to put this in the nicest way possible. Out of the three Chase men, I find Chase the most interesting. Okay. Y'all know I don't like Finn. I don't care for Finn. I've said that before. I mean, his father, the father figure. I mean, there was, you know, some great storyline progression about issues in the family with the father and Gregory having issues with Finn and how that got worked out with Chase.
Yep.
And we had our time with that, and that served its purpose. But I'm not that interested by Gregory either, to tell you the truth. I don't find Finn or Gregory that terribly compelling to watch, in my personal opinion. That has nothing to do with the actors. Nothing. They are fantastic actors. They are great. That has everything to do with the writing for me, basically. Right? That's what it would come down to.
Yep.
I don't find them that interesting of characters. Like, there's nothing really there for me to, like, go, oh, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing how this ALS progresses with Gregory and see what happens. The only time I find him a little bit more interesting is when he's in scenes with Tracy. He comes alive with Tracy. I don't know what it is. It's like him and Tracy just, they have that great balance. And I just find, like, it's like, oh, wow, it's so interesting to see Gregory in scenes today because he's having scenes with Tracy. That's the only time I find him, like, somewhat interesting where I'm actually paying attention, like, ooh, what's going on here? Like, yeah. I'm sorry, but I just don't find Finn and Gregory, those characters, I just don't find them that interesting and those that compelling to me. And that doesn't have, again, that doesn't have to do with the actors. That has everything to do with the writing for me. That's just my personal, you know, opinion. So GH could care to spice him up a little bit. Like, give them a little spice, give them a little flavor, you know, make it a little bit more interesting for me as a viewer. But for me as a viewer, they're not on my top list of, you know, favorite characters or most interesting characters to watch. They're just.
Right.
They're like very back burner type characters for me. I'm sorry to everyone listening who's like big Gregory and Finn fans, but that's just where I'm at, you know.
Yeah, no, and you're exactly right. And Nathan points out this is Willow all over again in a way. We thought the actress who plays Willow was leaving GH and then she resigns and boom, Willow is all cured. I don't think it's necessarily contract negotiation with Gregory Harrison. I think it's just they wrote themselves into a corner. You know, it's just, it's unfortunately the thing where, you know, it's just they backed themselves into a corner. We'll see how the new writing team gets them out of that corner. All right. So moving on a little bit. Like I said, I really brought up that I like the idea of Tracy softening up. Today, she had some fantastic scenes with Brooklyn. And, you know, just the fact that she, towards the end of the week, you know, she brought Lila's dress out and let, you know, and told Brooklyn to wear it. Just, it's a different side of Tracy, right? This is the same woman that withheld medication from her father while he was having a heart attack. You know, this is the same woman that, you know, is just a shrewd business person, right? But just seeing a softer side of her, you know, and I think Gregory has a lot to do with it. I think they're, you know, they're, one of the lines that was said not too long ago was, you haven't loved anybody since Luke died, you know? So it's just, it's unfortunately a situation where, we're going to get there. I will see. We'll see how much more Tracy softens up.
We will see.
Yes. So Sunny and Nina, they finally talked. You know, Nina went to the, went to Ava's gallery to talk to Ava and ask her for her help and said, could you please help me talk to Sunny? Set us up with the And
yeah, because Sunny and Ava are like besties these days. So,
well, Sunny realized he could trust Ava, and Ava told Nina, she's like, you know, I can't set Sunny up like that because he trusts me, and with everything going on, he needs a support team. And you know, Nina's all, woe is me because of the divorce papers, and she wasn't expecting them without talking.
Yeah, to me. Right.
You know, and it's like, and I get that to a point. Is somebody who values loyalty, you know, and because of how Nina, you know, tried to get his kid's mother put in jail, and you know everything that happened to Drew. Now, Sonny still cares about Carly and Drew, regardless of the whole thing with Nina. So, I don't necessarily understand why Nina thought Sonny would be okay with this. Like, I think they could weather the storm. I was wrong. But they clearly cannot. Sonny did give her, you know, the divorce papers, and I really believe that Mina's gonna end up going off the deep end in some way, somehow.
I kind of hope so. You know, I kind of want her to go like insane and then just put her in like Shady Brook or something. I don't know. I don't know. That'd be kind of fun.
Exactly. I don't understand necessarily what they're going to end up doing with her. You know,
they're going to do something. I think they're going to do something. Because call me crazy, but I think they're building up the Sunny and Ava connection for something more down the road.
Okay.
So I think that they could be doing that because I think Sunny's done with Nina. I don't see them reconciling at all. If he's already sent her divorce papers without telling her, he's got his mind made up. He's like, I'm done. I'm done with you. I don't want anything to do with you. And when Sunny makes his mind up like that, there's really no going back. You really can't tell Sunny what to do after that, you know? Exactly. So I honestly don't think Nina can really come back and say, hey, I don't think there's anything she could say at this point to get back in his good graces. I don't. So
I don't either. I think
that's
the
just
problem,
my opinion.
I think the problem is that Nina is just too emotional. And she acts on impulse, and she just doesn't weigh out. You know, she's one of those people that just does things without caring or worrying about the consequences beforehand. Like she needs to learn how to take a step back and be like, okay, so how could this possibly bite me in the ass? And she doesn't do that. She just doesn't do that. So. You know, it is what it is. And
Chad said something in the chat that says, yeah, I hope it goes somewhere with Nina. And yes, when Sunny and Ava hook up, it'll be the thing that truly pushes Nina. So, yeah, that could be something that sends her over the edge.
Yes.
If Sunny and Ava hook up and like become a thing, that's really probably going to flip her out because Nina and Ava are like best friends, right?
Yep.
So that's like one of her best friends. That's one of her only friends. And for Sunny to like rebound essentially with Ava, maybe becomes more than a rebound. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that could really, that's going to, Nina might really lose her shit. Then. I'm just saying, I think Nina's really going to lose it. She may go to Shady Brook after that. I think they're building it up. I was thinking about this tonight earlier before our podcast, and I was like, they got to be doing something with Sunny and Ava. Like, why are they rebuilding that connection and making them like confidants with each other? Like, something's going to happen.
I agree. I completely agree with you. All right, let's move on a little bit. And I mean, I want to see, I wouldn't mind the pairing of Sunny and Ava because it's something that we teased in the past. I mean, hell, they hooked up in the Quartermain Crypt, and that's when Avery...
The cemetery. Yeah, that's where they consummated and they did stuff. Oh, man, they made a baby there.
That was mainly hate sex because Sunny was, you know, after her, you know, Sunny was hated her for being with Morgan because, you know, the older younger dynamic and everything, and you know, so, and that,
yeah,
and
but
sex. But now they're,
I mean, obviously, they have the hots for each other for that to happen, so on some level, there's some fine physical attraction,
And I really feel like, you know, Ava is someone that Sunny can trust. Ava is someone that Sonny can trust with his business dealings too.
Nina
could never be trusted that way. He was able to trust Carly, you know, to the point where, you know, Carly actually went to a meeting of the five families. But, you know,
yeah, that was epic, by the way. That was epic. Carly was fantastic in that role.
But Ava has the background in it. Ava used to be, you know, part of the
crime family. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
she's She's kind of perfect for Sunny in a way, other than Carly, obviously. Yeah.
You know, so so she's someone that he can trust, and I do like that. All right, yeah. Let's kind of get a couple of the other stuff out of the way. Jocelyn finds Dex, and while she's there, they have sex, and they, you know,
of course they do, because, you know, they gotta have this sex.
And then, you know, Dex is like, you have to leave me be, you know, if, you know, it could bring danger on you, it could bring danger on,
yeah,
you know, your family, yada yada yada, who knows if somebody,
oh man,
but then Michael,
is this like, this is like Jason Elizabeth all over again. Oh, it's too dangerous. You can't be with me. Oh, don't pull that crap. Jocelyn is not going to accept that.
No, mm-mm. Jocelyn will not accept that.
No.
But she may not have to, because Michael did call her while she was there and said, you have to bring Dex back to...
I saw that. That part I saw, yes, yes.
So I really believe that, you know, Dex will be back, especially because of what's going on. We saw a scene at the gym on Friday with Sonny and Dante and Michael, and then who comes in was Jagger Cates. Jagger, he baited Sonny, and actually Sonny baited him kind of, and it turned into a Donnybrook, right? You know, they got into a scuffle, and Dante held Sonny back, Michael held Jagger back, and Michael kind of said, you know, who do you think you are? You know, so it's, Michael is now starting to defend his father. Michael is a very strange character. Like, he loves his father, he has loyalty to his father, until his father does something he doesn't like. So then he tries to turn him in, has second thoughts, loses his spine, and then ends up, you know, being in the same thing where now he's trying to protect his father again.
Michael can't make up his mind when it comes to Sonny. Right. Like, you're either against your father or you're supporting your father in some way. Like, make a decision. It's like he's got one foot on either side of the fence, and it's like,
oh yeah,
he's really screwing himself here. Like, he's going back and forth, like, okay, I hate Sonny, okay, no, I don't really hate Sonny, I really do, you know, love my dad, but XYZ, like, it's just it's aggravating.
Michael, in my opinion, Michael thinks he's more important than he actually is, and here's why I say that. He's always wanted to be in Sonny's business, right? He wanted to take over the family business. He wanted to be involved, you know, in the family business, in Sonny's organization. Sonny never wanted his kids to be involved in that. So now that he's got money, obviously, from the Quartermains and the Corinthoses, and part of ELQ, part of Aurora, whatever the case may be, he really thinks that he's doing a good thing for Sonny by keeping Dex in there. But Dex kind of told him early on, you know, okay, you want me to protect him, that's great, but he's going to be suspicious at some point. And how am I supposed to explain that? So Dex already knew it was coming. And he kind of set Michael straight at one point and said, listen, you know, your father's going to find this out at some point. So it does happen to be, I actually lost my train of thought now. But when it comes to Michael, that's where I was going. That when it comes to Michael, he's just, he has the best of intentions. He just doesn't know how to actually do it. He's the epitome of book smart compared to street smart, right?
Yes.
I don't necessarily think he's a college graduate, but he's a business person. He's in Aurora. He's been the CEO of ELQ. But
yes,
he wants to be on the streets with Sonny. He doesn't know the street code. He doesn't know, well, this guy at one point was a Mullenmeyer organization. Now, you know, Dex was going to be on the shit list no matter what. Because he was collecting evidence for Sonny. And then when Brick found those payments in that offshore account, his time was up. Regardless of the fact he was being paid by Michael to protect him.
Yeah. Dex, I feel bad for Dex in this situation because he's in between a rock and a hard place, basically. Like, no matter what Dex does, Dex is, like, screwed at this point.
Yeah.
Because he started working for Sonny, appeared as very loyal to Sonny, but he's secretly working for Michael. So it was like he was basically screwed from the beginning because eventually things played out and came to light that he was working for Michael. Yeah. And of course, you know, Sonny's gonna flip his shit and not like that. So it's terrible, like, for him, no matter what happens. Like, Dex is, like, in a really bad position, and Michael's not making it any better because Chad said this in the chat. Michael's very flippity-floppity when it comes to Sonny. He is. He just kind of, he's like, I'm for Sonny today. Now yeah. I'm against Sonny. Like, I'm for Sonny. I'm against Sonny. Like, choose a side, man, and just stick to it. Like, just, it's, you're making it aggravating for your mom, Carly. You're making it harder for Dex. You're making it more difficult on everyone around you who is associated with Sonny. And we all know Sonny is like what I like to refer to as like a godfather type figure, you know, from the movies. He's essentially like a soprano or godfather type figure. So if you mess with Sonny, you're in deep doo-doo. Yeah. So, like, you know, Michael is just not making this easier on anybody. And I wish he would just decide, stick to a side, like, choose a side, stick to it, either go through with your plans to get him, Sonny, arrested or whatever your end game is there, and do it, or don't, and just side with family and don't go against your father. Like, just decide, man. Just decide. Like, look, I kind of have like a love-hate relationship with Michael, because there's sometimes where I really love Michael and I'm cheering him on.
There's potential with the character of Michael, but it's just not utilized correctly. It's like,
right.
It's almost like, I'm trying to think. I don't know. I can't think of off the top of my head, but there's so much potential in Michael because he is Chad Duhl's great. But
right.
You know, it's Michael can be somebody who is strong in the business and as a support for Sonny. But he puts his foot in his mouth too much because he just doesn't want to be called out on it. Like, he should go to Sonny and be like, listen, I love you. I care about you. I want to protect you. Instead of waiting until Sonny figures out that he's doing something behind his back and then going to him and calling him out for it.
Right. You
know, it's right. Just absolutely ridiculous. So
he should just confront his dad and be like, I love you.
Yes.
But I have an issue with this, this, and this, and this, and the way you run your organization and the way you do this. And how dare you do this to our family? And work out your family dysfunction issues by confronting them head on, Michael. Yeah. Like, just have that face-to-face interaction with your dad and have those difficult conversations. Yeah. Like, it would be easier that way, but for the sake of drama and the sake of creating drama on the Soap General Hospital, we are where we are with the Michael character. You know, he's going to do what he's going to do, and that creates more drama for the show. So I'm sure that's why General Hospital has made these decisions to have Michael go back and forth with Sonny.
Yep. No, you're exactly right. Something I do want to bring up that I'm happy to see, and I have a feeling that they brought him back specifically because Jason was coming back. Danny and Jake interacting. We never get to see them as brothers. Danny and I heard it. I heard it explained to me that Jake was like the Jason Quartermain, and Danny was like Jason Morgan. So, you know, it's Jake is kind of straight laced. He's follow the rules. You know, Danny's right. The rule breaker.
He's a mama's boy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Danny's a rule breaker. Yeah. He's spoiled, or not spoiled, but he's, you know, 14 years old. He's going out drinking. He's vaping. You know, Jake confronts him about it. You know, and then all you know, and then Jake being starstruck by Blaze being in the house and just at the Quartermain house for whose birthday was it? Was it Scout's? Yeah, for Scout's birthday. So I like seeing them interacting, and you know, it's gonna end up playing into Jason being a father at some point to his kids. So we'll see how that works out. And I want to see the dynamic. We rarely ever got any up until now. We rarely ever saw Jake and Danny together, and they're happy.
I feel like we've almost never seen them interact except when it's maybe in a group environment, right. Maybe.
Yep.
But we've never seen them like one on one, I don't think, right. Interact.
No.
So, yeah, this was interesting. I saw it. I saw a little bit of it today, watched a little bit of it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is great. We should have more of this. So I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. And I hope we see more of the Danny and Jake interaction, because I think it's very, very interesting and very on point and relevant for today's society. It's what kids are doing these days, you know?
So Chad points out, yes, it was good to see Jake and Danny in those scenes. The roles are reversed because Jake as a kid was a mischievous one and Danny was a good one. Now it's reversed. I don't remember Jake being mischievous. I remember when he was brainwashed by Elena.
It was Cam. I was mischievous. Cam was the one starting the fires in the house.
Cam did start the fire at Windermere when he and Spencer were fighting over Emma. I do remember that. But I don't remember Jake being mischievous. I do remember when he came back from the dead, you know, he was, brainwashed by Helena because they found him on Cassadine Island. That's when he, you know, opened up the Chimera. You know, that's when we first got to see Valentine and his big first storyline all those years ago. I don't remember Jake being mischievous.
I would like to see Chad explain this a little bit more in the chat about how Jake was mischievous, because I'm trying to remember myself from the time he was born until now.
Right.
And I'm like trying to place where the mischievous stuff would have been, because I mean, when he came back, oh, you know what? When I think he came back after being taken, basically, by, I guess, Helena.
Yep.
So when he made his return from the dead, I think maybe that's when he was kind of mischievous phase, possibly.
He was mischievous during that time, but I kind of chalked it up to being brainwashed by Helena rather than being just a mischievous kid. So I can understand both viewpoints either way, but whatever. I mean, all right, so let me just double check my notes, because I think we've kind of hit onto every topic here, and that's pretty much it. Yeah, I think we we did see a brief scene with Scotty, and we did see Scotty and Jagger have a brief scene at Karen's gravesite, and Scott's all rah-rah, yeah, put Corinthos away, you know, get rid of him, whatever. But John's like, I have to protect him because he's a potential victim. It's fun to see some of those older characters interact. But
Yeah,
that's
there's a couple things I would touch on. I know there was some Anna stuff that I miss, and I kind of seen bits and pieces where she talked to Cyrus.
Yep. Oh, you
And
know what?
that I found really interesting.
We did have a number. We did have a really good Brooklyn and Chase scene, where while Brooklyn is doing her wedding dress, her dress try on,
Oh, yes. We
you
need to
know,
mention the prenup thing.
right, Chase gets an email from the Court of Main Lawyers with an attachment as a prenup. And he's kind of pissed off, because this is not something we talked about. And Brooklyn's like, well, I was going to bring it up, and I just find the right time. And they weren't supposed to send you anything until we had talked about it. And I like Chase's explanation. He's like, yeah, in the moment I was mad, I was upset. But after thinking about it, you have a lot of, family resources, you have a lot of, items that you're bringing into this marriage. I like when, I like us being together, and I understand you have a lot of belongings that you're coming into this marriage with, so if God forbid something does happen, I want you to be protected. I get that. I think he was just caught by surprise, and that was the main thing. And then they got to talk about their relationship, and that you don't foresee a divorce in the future, but you always have to be prepared. So, he's happy to sign. He did end up signing the prenup, even though Brooklyn didn't really want to. But I don't know. I liked that scene. I think Brooklyn and Chase are going to be a great couple going forward. And I do believe they'll be able to weather any storm.
This is what I read that he signed it, but then Brooklyn was like,
Brooklyn tore it
you signed
up.
it without reading it. You signed it without reading it. So she tore it up. And so I was like, so apparently they're going to go to like a, they're going to talk about it with a lawyer or something. I don't,
Yeah, they'll
yeah,
go to
it's
the
fine.
attorney.
Yeah. I mean, this never happens on soaps, I don't think, or General Hospital, but I think it's great to have some kind of maybe one or two premarital counseling sessions, just so you know what you're getting into from both sides of the family coming together, and you have an idea of what this person's expectations are coming into marriage and this person's expectations, and see where you are. And I think that would be good for Chase and Brooklyn to just make
I
sure that
think
there's
they do
no
as well.
surprises, like coming into marriage going, oh, okay, I didn't realize this was going on, or this is this issue. I just think it'd be a good idea. So I'm kind of glad they're doing this prenup discussion with a lawyer.
Yes, I agree with you. And I do need to apologize if you hear my dog is getting antsy. But
Well, I was just petting my cat. So y'all probably were like, what is she doing on the screen? It's like my cat's over
But
here. I don't know if you can really. Oh, there's my cat. There you go. Yeah,
all right.
there's
Well,
Kitty.
we've kind of gone over all the topic, and so I think this is going to be a big week for GH. Obviously, Jason is coming back, and the big storyline is here. I'm not spoiling anything for anybody that has not seen anything, so we'll talk about that next week. Next week, we will also do the seeding for the Soap Suds March Madness. So definitely tune in for that as well. All right, so before we do end the show, again, I want to tell everybody we are officially an affiliate for WWE Shop. So go over to sudsandsquarecircle.com/wrestlingmerch. That has the affiliate code built right in, and order an awesome new Paul Heyman Hall of Fame Class of 2024 shirt off WWE Shop. We do get a commission for it, as well as his NWO hat or anything else. There is also a new shirt on WWE Shop that references the slap from The Rock to Cody back at the WrestleMania press event. So go over there and do that. And if you're gearing up for WrestleMania, there's no better place than WWE Shop. All right. And again, if you're watching, thank you so much. Hit the like button, subscribe, get notified. If you're listening on the podcast feed, go ahead and give us a 5-star Apple review, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or if you're listening on Spotify or anywhere else, definitely give us that review. All right. So, as always, getting to the tail end of the show, we are going to go into our thankful minute. And as always, ladies first, I'll go ahead and put 1 minute on the clock. And Christy, go right ahead.
I'm grateful I got to go on vacation. Thank you, my boss. Thank you, Jesus, for maybe being able to do that. I got to go to Bucky's twice. I love Bucky's. Love me some Bucky's. If y'all don't know, it's like the best gas station / convenience store that looks like a mini Walmart when you go in there. It's like amazing. You kind of fall in there and you can spend some serious money. It was a great vacation. I enjoyed it. That's my main gratefulness. I'm just grateful to, I'm continually grateful to have a job where there is grace and forgiveness. And I used up all of my PTO already this year, but that's okay. So I will survive. But you know, I'm grateful to have the job I have. And I don't know. I'm just grateful for friends checking in on me, and that's about it. So
great. All right. Perfect timing. I'm going to go ahead and give my thankful minute as well. So I'll put a timer on the clock, and I want to say, if you follow me on Facebook, or if you're one of my friends on Facebook, it is Vinny Suds. We had this past Sunday, we did have our All Connecticut service for church. For those of you that don't know, I have recently started going back to church because I needed to get my life back into the good graces of God. But we had an All Connecticut service, and one of the things I really love about our ministry is the fact that when you do have these all, you know, these all ministry services, you really see the power of God, because you see people from different geographical regions, whether, you know, for example, ours is the Hartford Church. There was also the Southern Connecticut Church and also the Groton New London Church. And it's all the same ministry. I've been to the all New England services as well up in Providence. So, and then one in Boston as well. So I'm really thankful for that ministry. And that's, you know, what I'm really thankful for and getting back to it. But either way, that's my thankful minute. I'm thankful for all you guys that are out there watching and listening and, you know, interacting. Thank you, Chad, for, you know, some great conversation in the chat. Thank you, Nathan, for tuning in and chatting as well. And Christy, thank you so much. Again, tomorrow night, 10 p.m., right back here, Dockside at the Bay. Kim and I will be going over the Bay, the beginning, episode number 8. So you don't want to miss that either. So for Christy, I'm Vinny. We will see you here again next week with the seating for Soap Suds March Madness. Have a great week, everybody, and good night. Live streams.